In our last broadcast, I told you that communication is the highway on which love travels. And I gave you two key principles for improving, really developing your communication. Today, I want to give you the last three principles. You're not going to want to miss them. Communication is the highway upon which love travels. If you want your love to get through, you can learn to communicate better today. Stay with me.
Thanks for joining us for this Wednesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Druey, and today Chip continues his series, Experiencing God's Dream for Your Marriage. He's picking up where he left off in our previous broadcast, talking about ways to improve communication in your marriage. Now, to hear the first two principles of effective communication, download the Chip Ingram app and get Chip's teaching anytime. Well, let's get going and pick it up with Chip at principle number three for effective communication, the principle of hard work, from Ephesians chapter 4.
The third principle out of this is be diligent. Work hard on your relationships. Verse 28, if you used to be a thief, you must not only give up stealing, you must learn to make an honest living so that you may be able to give to those in need. And the idea here is be diligent. You know, he's talking about this transformation in relationships, and he says, yeah, you used to be a thief. What's the idea of a thief? It's a shortcut. Stealing is no more than I want the product, I don't want the process. I mean, you work all week, and then the guy comes up and puts the gun and says, you get your, you know, money out of the ATM, and he takes it. You did all the work, he gets all the reward. That violates a biblical principle of communication and relationship. He says, be diligent, work hard. I came to realize I don't have the skill to relate. I have baggage, I have sin. She's a woman, I'm a man, we got different personalities. I realized I needed to sign up for the rest of my life and make my marriage my number one priority and work at it. And what we want is we want these, you know, ideal marriages that are wonderful, but we don't want to put the time in. I don't want to go through the process. Great marriages are like oak trees, not weeds. They take a lot of time, and they're really great. But you got to really work. Next, it's be positive. Don't wound with your words. Verse 29, let no more foul language, but good words instead. Words suitable for the occasion, which God can use to help other people. Never hurt the Holy Spirit. He is, remember, the personal pledge of your eventual full redemption. Let there be no more resentment, form of anger, no more slander, and no more malicious remarks. So we're to be positive. Don't wound with your words. You express it in a way that doesn't wound. In fact, one translation says, let no unwholesome word, and the word there for unwholesome word in Ephesians 4:29, it's a picture of milk that's gone sour or fruit that has been completely decayed. Have you ever been on vacation? And you left something in the refrigerator for like 2 or 3 weeks, and you open it, and then you open this thing, ugh, that smell, that stench, that's this word. Don't let any of those kind of words. Words that build up people are legal in your marriage. Sarcasm, picking, labeling, name calling, talking about her parents, their parents, illegal. They're illegal. Now, you got to discipline yourself, but they're illegal. Though, by the way, too, you think, oh, I said I'm sorry. Guess who keeps remembering? Right? I got a second grade teacher. I can still remember what she said to me. And I've been out of second grade for a long time. I got a coach in ninth grade who said some things to me. I can still remember exactly what he said to me. Wounds with words are powerful. There's life and death in the power of words. Be very careful. Every one of my kids, here's a little skill, write down Ephesians 4:29 and write the word memorize. Every one of my kids had to memorize that verse, and when they said things to one another or to one of us that were put-downs, you had to put money in a jar. And I'll tell you what, after a while, they realized, I'm going broke doing this. But I wanted them to learn, there's a real thing. You're either putting money in a jar and building people up, or you're taking something out of the relationship. Be diligent, be positive, be forgiving. Be the first to say, I'm sorry. Verse 32 says, be kind to one another, be understanding, be as ready to forgive others as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And that, by the way, this is the key to breaking deadlock in your marriages. The word forgive literally means to release. Okay, you release. The reason we don't forgive is revenge. See, you got to pay for this. You hurt me, you got to pay for this. I can't forgive. I can't let it go. If I let it go, then you won't have to pay. No, what you'll get rid of is your ulcers. And you say, well, he doesn't deserve it. Do you understand what he did? You know what she did? Do you know what she said? You know how much money she spent after we talked about this? You know what? You know how? Yeah. You don't forgive them because they deserve it. But forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you. I give it because I got it. And when Jesus says that we're to learn how to pray, I prayed this morning. Father, forgive me as I forgive those who've trespassed against me. And then I thought of two or three names of people that I felt like had trespassed against me in maybe the last 6 or 8 months. And I said, I just want to remind you, Father, I want to release them. And I want to pray that you bless them because I want you to forgive me. There's a little equation that goes on there, isn't it? And so it's, you never can wipe the board clean, and you can never start the healing process until you're willing to let go of the past hurts. And I know at times that mean that's an affair or that's a squandering of money. But God has forgiven you, and you need to turn them loose and release them and treat them in the way that God has forgiven you. And by the way, Matthew 5, there in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, if you're coming to the altar, you know, to worship, and there, remember, your brother has something against you, he says, tell you what, you just leave your offering, your time with God, and go and find your brother and make it right. Be the first to say, I'm sorry. The way we usually play the game is, it's 90% her fault. I'll tell you what, when she comes and apologizes, we'll get this thing straightened out. Well, I didn't respond the right way. Yeah, there was a 10% truth, of course. I mean, I'm an intelligent person, and 10% of the problem is mine, 90% hers. I'll tell you what, we haven't talked in 3 days, and I've slept on the couch, which isn't all that fun. She should be sleeping on the couch, but couldn't bring myself to that. You know what God teaches? The relationship matters more than who's right. And go into the bedroom and wake her up and say, you know something, honey, I want to apologize. And even if you only think it's 10%, own your part and say, I'm sorry. And isn't it an amazing thing when the other person, you know, reality, it might have been a 50-50 or a 60-40 or a 70-30. But isn't it an amazing thing when another person takes the initiative and owns their part, even if it was a wrong response, and ask forgiveness for that? See, what keeps us apart is pride. And God is against the proud. It's my rights. It's I can't let go. Just be the bigger person. Be the first to say, I'm sorry. And what you'll find, tremendous healing will occur in your relationship. Well, those principles are pretty clear, aren't they? Just right out of Scripture. Be honest, be diligent, be positive, be forgiving. I want to give you three skills, okay? Three quick skills. One's a listening skill, one is a conflict resolution skill, and one is an increase your love quotient skill, all right? Are you ready? Skill number one is what I call the conference. Tool for listening, and this is the way it works. It's very, very, very simple, and there's three questions, and they're very easy. And I sit down. I remember the first time we had this. I got this from marriage counseling. Thank you, Dr. Dick Meyer. Okay, I wish Teresa was here because we'd have done this. Teresa, what are you concerned about? Excuse me. I ask, what are you concerned about? I don't interrupt. I don't talk. I don't solve a problem. I don't make a comment. I can verbally, yeah, but you just listen. What are you concerned about? And then when I get done, she says, well, Chip, what are you concerned about? And she puts tape over her mouth. Well, you don't have to actually do the tape, but for some, you'll find it's far more effective. Because even though you're laughing, you'll interrupt. You will. So if, you know, this is legal in this little thing that you can say, excuse me, I think maybe you need this tape, all right? And so question one, what are you concerned about? You pour it out. And by the way, if you haven't done this in a long time, it might take 10, 12 minutes. But you're not asking questions. What are you concerned about? I'm concerned about our marriage not being where I need it to be. I'm concerned about our finances. I'm concerned about kind of what's happening around the world with all these wars. I'm concerned about our daughter. I do not like that guy she's dating. I'm concerned about. And then when it gets quiet, just wait. Anything else? And then you flip it. And then the next question is, what do you desire? What do you desire? So I sit down, and again, I don't interrupt. I get the old tape out. What do you desire, honey? Well, I desire for us to have a close-knit relationship like we used to. I desire for us to get a weekend away and really talk. I desire that you would help me with the kids with their homework because, you know what, I don't understand math anymore, and you're good in math, but you're never around. I desire. And it doesn't have to be super serious. I desire we'd win the lotto and we could give most of the money away, but we could have some real fun for ourselves. I desire, you know, just whatever desire you have, just get it out. So, question, what are you concerned about? What do you desire? You don't interrupt one another. And then the last question, and here's the final rule, what are you willing to do? But there's one rule behind the rule. You don't have to do anything. Don't have to do anything at all. Otherwise, it turns into manipulation. So when I get done, I say to her, what are you willing to do? She can say, I'm willing to have another conference like this in a couple days. Or I'm willing to pray for you at a deeper level. Or in my case, I remember it specifically, it's not hypothetical, I'm willing to take over all the math homework for all the kids. Now, here's what you need to understand. Most of us are in levels 1, 2, and 3, right? Most all the time. In about 20 minutes, what occurs is you share all your burdens. That's your concerns. You know what burdens do to you? They weigh you down. And then you share your desires. That's kind of like, that's wind in your sails. And what you're really doing is you have a little time where you say, here's what's weighing me down, babe. Here's what would put wind in my sails. I don't expect you to do anything, but now you know. If you'd like to put a little wind in my sails, or if you'd like to lift off a burden, at least you're aware, but I don't expect you to do anything. I gotta tell you, our first conference took about 25 minutes. I learned more about what was going on in my wife than hours and hours of talking about stuff. Because we usually talk about work and stuff and logistics. But just have a conference. We did that. We had two conferences a week probably for a decade as we were repairing and working on our marriage to be diligent. The second is what I call word pictures. And a lot of people have done lots of good work on this, but it's just a tool for understanding. Sometimes we can't get into one another's worlds and you know, you can't get him to really get it. You say it, but he doesn't get it. Or you say, honey, this really matters. And no matter what you do, you can't. Consider a word picture. And a word picture is just something that comes out of their world instead of your world that you might be able to bridge so that light would come on so they go, oh, I get it. So I won't go into all the details of how bad I've been around the house. And this, I've actually made lots of progress, but this was years ago. And apparently, our dishwasher, whenever it was on, the water would come under the bottom, but Teresa put towels under it, so I thought that was okay. And then our daughter's room, when it rained, the water would come in, and it took more than a few towels, but I thought that's better than replacing a window. And apparently, we had 3 or 4 appliances and 4 or 5 other things like this all around the house that I didn't notice. Teresa, ask, and she's angry, and she's pushing it down, and, you know, I can't figure out, I wonder why my wife doesn't want to be more romantic. And so we go through this, and she says, Chip, I really need to talk to you. And she learned, do it at the right time, at the right place. But she told me this, I mean, for the first 15 years of our marriage, I couldn't hear it. And so I was near the fireplace. I still remember this. You ever have those moments where sort of a turning point in your marriage, and I can remember right where I was at. And she goes, Chip, I really want to talk to you. I said, well, fine. She goes, no, you're going to get mad. You're really going to get mad. No. Oh, surely you jest, dear. I won't get mad. Will you promise? Okay, I won't get mad. Well, then, if you don't get mad, you're going to get really defensive. No, honey, I'm not going to be defensive. Would you just tell me? No, I'm really kind of afraid to tell you. And I said, okay. Look, will you just tell me right now, and I promise I won't be mad, I won't be defensive. And so she said, okay. She said, Chip, you know, when we drive by the church and we were involved in a building program and developing a site over about a 10 or 12 year period. And you know, when you are driving by the church and the bushes are all messed up, or when we walk out of a service, if songs or different things weren't done the way, you know, you have those quick debriefing meetings and you evaluate, here's what went well, here's what didn't, here's how we need to change it. Or remember last week when we were driving on our date on Friday for coffee and you just saw just all this big pile of junk and you stopped and said, you know, can you take just a minute? And you walked into the office and you made a call to make sure that wouldn't be there. I said, well, yeah. I'm thinking she's thinking about what a great husband I am who notices these things at my work. She said, Chip, when you notice all those things at the church and you make sure everything is right and repaired because it's your world, I really admire you. But when you don't even see the things that need repaired in my world, it makes me feel like you don't care about me. Because our home, in some ways, is an extension of me. You know, this is like David getting it from Nathan, right? I mean, hey, she was telling me forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, you know, this needs fixed, that needs fixed, that needs fixed. I'm thinking, $300, we don't have that, forget that, that, you know. I want to tell you, probably in the next 2.5 months, every single one of those things got fixed. Because she told me in a way that reached my heart in from my world, I just thought, oh, I get it. And you might have to be creative. And you know, like Nathan made up that little story about, you know, the shepherd that had only the one little lamb. But if you can think of ways to say things that give a picture out of their world, often a light will come on. Final thing, and this is a little exercise that we're going to run with. I call it care list, and it's a tool for building. And so what happens is, remember I talked about the pie of life and how you can focus on the little sliver that's not so good and forget all the good things that you really have. And what you really need to do is build on the good things, and so those other things shrink so you get enough kind of positive emotions in the bank to deal with them. A care list is list 7 simple, loving, caring behaviors that are non-conflict producing and non-expensive that make you feel loved by your spouse. So I've done this with lots of groups and seminars, and I get all of them in together. I say, okay, let's list them, get on a whiteboard. And they give me 10, 12, 15 things. I feel loved when my wife, and the top two are, communicates confidence in me. Man, when my wife communicates confidence in me, I feel loved. When she shows and initiates affection, man, I feel loved. And we just make a list. And then my wife would get in the room with a bunch of ladies. So what makes you feel loved by your husband? And ladies would say, when he calls me from work, when he listens intently to me, when he really acts in an understanding way. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take, just as we close, 3-4 minutes, and on the part that it says woman, if you're a woman, I'd like you to at least put, you know, 2 or 3 things that when your husband does them, notice they're caring behaviors, they're non-conflict producing. In other words, like if you've been arguing about a cruise for the last 15 years, don't put, I feel love when he takes me on a cruise. Don't do that, okay? So you know, non-expensive, non-conflict producing, but you feel loved when he does these things. Will you just list 3, 4, 5 things? And then men, I want you to list 3 or 4 things that make you feel really loved. And then this is an amazing little thing, but what you do is, ladies, when we get done, you give yours to your husband. And men, you give yours to your wife. And they don't have to do any of them, but what I'm going to suggest is choose one of these and just do one each day. Wouldn't it be amazing to know that I can at least do one thing every day? When I do it, my wife's going to go, wow, he loves me. Wow, he loves me. And for some of you, extra milers, do 2 a day, right? And what you're going to be doing is you actually, rather than guessing, we spend so much of our energy thinking, I did that, and she didn't respond, he did that, you know? Why not make a list and say, I really feel love when these things happen, and then give it to the other person with ammunition to say, you are free to love me as much as you want. Right? Christ loves so much he died for his church. Is it too much that we would tell one another clearly what makes us experience love from that person? And then by a willful choice, begin to do the things that communicate love. And what you'll find is that sliver that bothers you will just keep shrinking, because what you're going to begin to do is you're going to create an atmosphere where the deeper, more painful vulnerabilities that you will get to later, it can happen in a healthy place where you feel more secure.
Chip will be right back with a specific application for his message. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today is from his series, Experiencing God's Dream for Your Marriage. This 6-part series provides practical, biblical insight to help you address the real-world issues every marriage faces. Whether you're married, soon to be married, or scared to death of the whole idea and you really want some answers, issues like communication, intimacy, resolving conflict, and the roles of husband and wife are all addressed. Experiencing God's Dream for Your Marriage comes in a handful of audio formats, CDs, MP3s, and the Chip Ingram app messages. But for a more powerful, effective format, the video teaching, designed to do as a couple, with a few friends, or as a small group, really has the best long-lasting impact. For all the details and series discounts, visit us online at livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, I think it's pretty novel to suggest that God has a dream for what marriage can look like. I know a few years back you wrote a book called Marriage That Works, which is really the how-to blueprint for experiencing God's dream in a marriage. But let me ask, what makes your book different from the myriad of other books on marriage?
I remember when the publisher was talking to me about writing a book on marriage, and I looked at him and I said, there's a lot of great books on marriage.
Right.
I mean, I've read a ton of them, and from my own personal testimony and the issues that Teresa and I've had to work through, they've been really great. Why in the world do we need another book on marriage? And then we begin to talk out loud about what's happening inside and outside the church and the shifting of roles. And there's a lot of great skill books and psychological books and practical books, but there's not a lot of, this is what the Bible says. This is God's design. This is what a covenant is. Men, this is what it looks like to be a man in your marriage. Women, this is what it looks like to be a woman. This is how you all fit together. And then filled with very practical ways, not a sense of oughts and shoulds and try hard, but this is God's design. This is what the Bible says. And this is actually how marriage works. And then after my own personal struggles, and actually we have 40 years under our belt, so we have learned a couple things, and counseling so many people, we came up with Marriage That Works truth cards. And what I did is I took probably the top 20 lies that I have either believed or heard from others, identified those, and then taken the truth of Scripture that you can review these in a way that renews your mind. And what I will tell you, little by little by little, you will simply begin to think about marriage the way God does, and the truth will set you free. So we're so excited about this book, and we will give you those truth cards just as a way of saying thank you for getting the book and a way to help you grow in your marriage.
Thanks, Chip. Well, I hope you take advantage of these great resources, whether it's for your marriage or for someone you know, or even a young couple preparing for marriage. What Chip shares are the practical, day-to-day realities of what it takes to experiencing God's dream for your marriage. Chip's book and the free truth cards are invaluable tools for developing a marriage that works. Now, to place your order and receive the free Marriage That Works truth cards, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003 or visit us online at livingontheedge.org. I hope you do it today. You'll be so glad you did. Well, now here's Chip with a final thought.
In today's broadcast, I covered a lot. I probably talked pretty quickly. And if you're in your car, there's no way you're going to get all this. I encourage you, go to the website, livingontheedge.org, and download the notes at a minimum. And the conference questions, the care list, all of that is right there. And I got to tell you, I mean, I paid for 12 different sessions of marriage counseling while I was in seminary. This little tool, the conference, was worth all the money. Teresa and I were assigned twice a week to have a conference, to ask these questions. What are you concerned about? What do you wish? What are you willing to do? And you need to listen to that over, because I gave some rules and I'm not going to go over them again right now. There are some specific rules complete with duct tape that you need to put over your mouth, because especially guys, you'll want to solve the problem, and ladies, you'll probably have a few comments you want to share. This will take your communication to the next level. It'll be very uncomfortable at first, Do it. And ladies, please don't get frustrated. This is really, really hard for guys to do. In the room, I had people stop. I made them do it. I shamed the men into doing it. But when they did it, the lights came on. But I will tell you, I saw body language of guys. They looked like they were being stabbed in the back. It's not that hard, but it really is uncomfortable. So ladies, be graceful. And guys, I'm telling you, if you want to make points, I mean, you want to get like to an A on the wife list, take these three questions and say, honey, I'd just like to try something. Write them down. You don't have to do it well. Have a conference. And what you'll find is, without judgment, you're going to get some good stuff out on the table and begin on that highway of love. So go for it.
To take advantage of the message notes Chip just mentioned, our website is livingontheedge.org. Just click on the Broadcasts tab. And as we wrap up today's broadcast, just a quick but important thought. Living on the Edge depends on friends like you to provide the necessary funding to continue broadcasting right here in your area. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us on a monthly basis so people in your area can continue to benefit from the ministry of Chip and Living on the Edge? Now, to set up a recurring donation, call us at 1-888-333-6003. Or if you prefer to give online, you can donate securely at livingontheedge.org. And thank you in advance for whatever God leads you to do. Tomorrow on Living on the Edge, Chip continues his series, Experiencing God's Dream for Your Marriage. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.